Okay, hello everyone, and welcome back for this week of our Relationships in Tanakh series. Thank you again for everyone who has been joining all the weeks until now, and thank you to everyone who's joining for the first time. So last week we discussed Avraham and Sarah, and we had, not last week, 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry, I apologize. 2 weeks ago we discussed Avraham and Sarah, and they were great. We learned so much from them. However, we met Avraham and Sarah when they were already an old married couple. We don't know what it was like when Avraham and Sarah first met each other. Much like we don't know what Noah and his wife were really like, and we don't know what Adam and Chava were really like. We know a little about them, but they were weird. Like one was made out of the other. That's a whole other story. But Avraham and Sarah, we met when they were already an old married couple. So we had a perspective of looking at them from a couple that was already so well established, that had already grown so much together. And this week's Parsha, we have a new experience. We meet a couple in this week's Parsha. Sorry, hold on 1 second. We meet a couple in this week's Parsha that it is right at the beginning of their journey. From the moment that they meet each other, we meet them together. And that is Yitzchak and Rivka. People look at Yitzchak and Rivka as the first shidduch that we can hope to learn from them. So many ideas about what we expect from Jewish dating, Jewish love, Jewish marriage. However, they give us a little bit of a run for our money. I would love to say that the story of Yitzchak and Rivka is clear-cut, easy to understand. We can pull out those great sound bites that we can give over to young couples heading off on their journey of marriage, but it's not. It's a much more complicated story. And what I want to look at tonight is, what was this relationship of Yitzchak and Rivka? How do we understand this complex story of our very first shidduch in Tanakh? So to first do this, I want to take a close look at each of the stories that we know about Yitzchak and Rivka. And while we do know a lot about them, it's not as much of an insight as we have to Avraham and Sarah's life, but we still know a significant amount. We can still glean many important messages from the relationship of Yitzchak and Rivka. So when do we first meet Yitzchak and Rivka? We meet them before they meet each other. We know Yitzchak from way back when, all the way from when he was born. And Rivka we meet when Eliezer, the servant of Avraham, heads out to find a wife for Yitzchak. He arrives in Padan Aram, and he meets this girl at the well. This comes after Eliezer had said, I am on a very important mission. I must daven to Hashem. And Eliezer davens to God and says, please let it be clear to me who the proper wife is for Yitzchak. Show me through a sign. She should be a balas chased. The girl who gives me to drink and my camels to drink, that will be the wife for Yitzchak. And this will be the first bracha that I will give everyone at this year right now. Emir Tzashem, we should all see our tefillot answered in the way that Eliezer does. The moment that he finished davening, Rivka appeared before his eyes, offered him water, offered his camels water, and Eliezer said, wow, this is the girl for Yitzchak. He's taken back to her home, recognizes that while she's a great girl, her family, not so much. They're pretty evil people. However, he recognizes that she is a great girl. He gives over many gifts. After many negotiations, he brings her back to Eretz Yisrael with him. This is going to be the wife for Yitzchak. So then we arrive in Bereishis Chaf Dalet at the very end of Parshas Chayisara, and it says, "Vayitzchak ba mivo be'er l'chayroi v'hu yoshiv be'er tanegev." Yitzchak is on his way back from Be'er l'chayroi, and he is, which is in the Eretz Hanegev, which is in the south. "Vayitzay Yitzchak lasuach basadeh lifnot erev vayisayna vayar v'hineg malim ba'im." Yitzchak is coming back from Be'er l'chayroi. We will discuss in a moment why does that name sound familiar to us. And Yitzchak goes out lasuach basadeh, to have a conversation in the field. We use this pasuk as the source for tefillah mincha. Ve'isayna ve'yar v'hineg malim ba'im. He looks up and he sees a caravan of camels are coming. Vatisa Rivka et'ineha. Rivka picks up her eyes as well. Vatira Yitzchak. Vatipol me'al hagamal. This is about to be a beautiful love scene when all of a sudden Rivka falls off her camel. You could say a klutz moment, or we will try to understand why did she fall off her camel. Vatomer el ha'eved, mi ha'ish ha'lazah, ha'ulich b'sadeh l'kratinu, v'yomer ha'eved, hu aduni v'tikach ha'tsa'if v'titachas. Rivka asks the Eved, she asks Eliezer, who is this person who is coming towards us? There was clearly something impressive about him that we, even though we know that she saw Yitzchak, she did not even know yet that she was looking at Yitzchak, her future husband, when she fell off the camel. She asks the servant who is with her, and he says, this is my master, this is Yitzchak. And at that point, she covers herself with a scarf. V'yisaper ha'eved liYitzchak et kol dvarim asher asah. The Eved Eliezer goes over to Yitzchak, explains to him everything that happened, all of the proceedings that led to bringing Rivka back. They have the Eha Yitzchak ha'ohela sara imo, v'yikach at Rivka, v'tihi lo le'isha, v'yehaveha, v'yerachim Yitzchak acharei imo. After this first encounter, Yitzchak takes Rivka back to the tent of his mother. He takes her as a wife, v'yehaveha, and after he marries her, he loves her. Ve'yinachim Yitzchak acharei imo, and Yitzchak is comforted for the death of his mother. Now we're going to move on to the next story for now, but obviously there is so much to unpack from this first encounter. Most notably, why did Rivka fall off her camel? Why did she feel the need to cover herself? What was so incredible about Yitzchak in this moment that led to this reaction? Why the order? Why does it say that Yitzchak took Rivka as a wife and then loved her? Also, this is the first mention of two people, of love between two individuals that is mentioned in the Torah. That in and of itself is notable. What are we going to learn from that? And lastly, what about Rivka comforted Yitzchak for his mother's death? But we're going to put that story to the side for now. The next episode we have with Yitzchak and Rivka is now that they have been married, they unfortunately suffer from infertility. It says in the beginning of Parshas Toldos, Ve'ila Toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avram Holidas Yitzchak. Yitzchak, it reminds us, was the child of Avraham. Vayehi Yitzchak ben Arba'im Shana bekachto et Rivka bat Betuel ha'arami, mipadan Aram achot lavan ha'arami lo le'isha. Yitzchak was 40 years old when he took Rivka, who was from Padan Aram, the daughter of Betuel, the wife of the sister of Lavan, when he takes Rivka as a wife. Vayetar Yitzchak la'Hashem lenochach ishto. Yitzchak davens to Hashem lenochach ishto, opposite his wife, ki akarahi, because she is infertile. Ve'yetar lo Hashem v'tahar Rivka ishto. Hashem answers Yitzchak and impregnates Rivka. Rivka now becomes pregnant. However, her pregnancy is not an easy one. It says ve'yidrotzu abanim bekirba v'tomer imkin lamaza anochi v'tilach ledroshet Hashem. Rivka noticed that there was something wrong. This was not just a baby that kicked a lot. Rivka knew there was something going on inside her. She said, what is going on? Why me? Why is this happening to me? Vatilach l'droshet Hashem. She goes to seek out an answer from Hashem. Rashi explains that she went to Yeshivat Sheim Ve'Eder. However, it is notable that on a pshat level, it does seem like Rivka had some sort of nevuah. So not for now. Again, everything I'm saying in this shir can lead to a shir in and of itself. But just to note, why is Rivka not one of the Sheva Nevi'ot? That's something just to store in the back of your head. Think about for another time. If it seems, based on the pshat, that Rivka did get a Nevuah. Ve'omer Hashem la, Hashem said to her, Shnei gayim b'bitneich, there are two nations inside of you. U'shnei le'umim mime'ayach yiparidu, two nations will separate from your womb. The older one will serve the younger one. Rivka receives this ominous nevuah while she is still pregnant, before she even knows what is going to come out of her, even that it is twins. She knows that something is going on. She knows that something is wrong with her pregnancy, and she gets this nevuah that it is not just two babies, but it is two nations. There is some sort of conflict happening within her. But I thought I was telling you about situations where we see Yitzchak and Rivka, but we do not see any Yitzchak in this story. But that is also noticeable. When we are studying a relationship, we must note when one of the partners is not present. This seems like a pivotal moment that Rivka gets this crazy nevuah that two nations are going to come out of her, and Yitzhak is not there. That is something to note. And also, just to follow up with that, we do not see any conversation subsequently between Rivka and Yitzhak about what she heard regarding this pregnancy. Next, we hear about the young childhood. Once Yaakov and Esav are born, we hear a little bit about their childhood, what kind of personalities they are developing. And it says in Bereishis Chaf Hei in source 4, Vayehav Yitzhak and Esav kitzayed bepiv. It says that Yitzhak loves Esav, the Rivka ohevet at Yaakov. And Rivka loved Yaakov. This is also complex to understand. How could it be that our Avod and Imahut showed favoritism towards their children? Why was it that Yitzhak loved someone who we know was evil? So to note there was that there seems to be a difference of parenting styles, a difference in opinion towards their children, a difference in preference towards their children. But just to note, in regards to what we begin to hear about their parenting, they do differ. Next, we hear about the story of Avimelech and Grar, that we think we know this story. Poor old Avimelech keeps getting set up in the same situation. Just like Avraham had to go down to Grar, to Avimelech, because there was a famine, so too there was another famine in Eretz Yisrael, and Yitzchak and Rivka head down to Grar. They settle there. Vayishav Yitzchak b'Grar, v'yishalu anshe hamakom l'ishto, v'yomer achotihi. Again, we know this story. They see the people of the town see Rivka, and they ask Yitzchak about his wife, and he says, she's my sister. He says, Rivka is very beautiful. I know what can happen. I know that they will take her and they will kill me because there will be no need for me if they think that she is my wife. However, this turns out a little differently from when Avimelech took Sarah into his home. It says that Yitzchak was living there. Rivka had been taken to the palace of Avimelech. However, Rivka, one day, Avimelech is strolling around, and he notices through the window of Yitzchak's dwelling that he sees Yitzchak and Rivka there together. And it is not entirely clear what is going on between Yitzchak and Rivka. Many of the Mefarshim have different explanations, but clearly whatever they were doing, it was clear that they were husband and wife. Vayikra Avimelech liYitzchak vayomer ach hine ishtecha hi, she's your wife, why didn't you tell me? Ve'ech amarta achotihi vayomer elav Yitzchak ki amarti pen amot alecha. Had I told you that she was my wife, you would have killed me. Vayomer Avimelech mazot asito anu kim'at shachav achar ha'amim ishtecha ve'hivite alinu asham. Avimelech says, no, we understand this situation. We know that if she is your wife, if one of us were to sleep with her, it would turn out very badly for us. How could you have set us up in that situation? So that is one of the other stories that we see with Yitzchak and Rivka. And important to note there is that there doesn't seem to be a conversation regarding what the plan is. When Avraham and Sarah headed down to Avimelech's kingdom, there was a conversation. Avraham said, Sarah, tell them you're my sister. We see the dialogue between them. Here it seems different. Here it seems that Yitzchak comes down with an already formed plan and that's it. He just tells them that she is his sister. And that's it. We don't see a conversation about it. However, it seems to be that when Avimelech saw Yitzchak and Rivka interacting, it was clear that there was a relationship between them. That even if we don't hear about the relationship, it was clear when he saw them, when he took a peek, literally, into their private lives, he saw that there was a relationship between them. And lastly, we probably have the most difficult of the stories, which is the story of the bracha. That we know that Yitzchak was coming towards the end of his life, and he wanted to give over a bracha to his children. Specifically, he wanted to choose Esav and give him a bracha. So he tells Esav, he says, Esav, go out and hunt for me, bring me back food, and I will be able to give you a bracha. Rivka overhears this and says, I have to stop this. Yaakov must receive the bracha. So Rivka sends out Yaakov to do the same, to go hunt, to bring it back. She will prepare the food, prepare for Yitzchak, dress him up as Esau. And Yaakov goes in to trick his father. Now, this seems extremely troubling in a marriage relationship. How could the wife, even if she has a difference of opinion from her husband, how can she turn one son against his father to go in and trick him? How do we understand this story? And finally, following this story, when the entire trick has been discovered, Esau realizes that he did not get the bracha that was intended for him. He comes home and he lets out his tzaka gedola. He is so upset. His parents recognize that Yaakov is no longer safe here. They have to send away Yaakov, for one, to save him from Esau, but also they do not want him, much like Avraham did not want Yitzchak to take a wife from Eretz Canaan. Rivka and Yitzchak did not want Yaakov to take a wife from Eretz Canaan. And at this point, we see the first and only line of dialogue between Rivka and Yitzchak. It says in Source 6 in Bereishis Chav Zayin, "Vatomer Rivka Yitzchak, katzi bechayai mipnei banochi, im lakoch Yaakov isha mimnochi, ka'ela mimnor haaretz, lama lichayim." Rivka says, Esau has already taken terrible daughter-in-laws for us. We do not appreciate that he has taken from the benot chayt, from the girls that are around us here. If Yaakov is to take a wife from the benot chayt as well, what is the point in my life? Now, honestly, these seem strange. Having gone through all these stories, we recognize there were probably times when it would have made more sense for us to hear that Rivka spoke up. Why here? Why was it so important for us finally to hear the voice of Rivka at this point? After everything we've gone through is said and done, why did Rivka have to stand up when it came to choosing a wife for Yaakov? So there are a number of ways to approach all these questions of what, which boil down to what was the relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka. And the Mefarshim, like I said, really pick apart every single word in each of these stories, because there is so much complexity here. There are so many layers of dynamics and family relationships. Everything is so complex. The Mefarshim really go to town. But we are going to look at two different approaches. And the first is going to be that of the Netziv. The approach of the Netziv in Ha'emek Davar is quite shocking. That if you have not learned this approach of the Netziv before, it seems almost impossible that it is written by one of the Mefarshim. However, I would like to say that while we will develop a second perspective, the approach of the Netziv, I believe, reads the most easily into the Psukim. That however shocking it may be, it is the most understandable, at least to me. It easily connects each of the stories. So the Ha'emek Davar starts way back when we learn Vayitzchak Ba in Source 7. Where was Yitzchak coming from? And what does that have to do with the rest of the story? See, Parakatov ki hamichim mitzadei gaver. See, Yibarach siviv sheyivka Yitzchak berivka baderach. Utehei nevatat mimena betchila hakarota ota. Ve'im haya ha'eved ba ima tchila lebeit Avraham. Haya Avraham mekabla tchila. ומדבר על ליבה עד שהיא מתכונן דעתה עליה, ולא הייתה נבטה מפחד יצחק. The first component that led to Rivka's view of Yitzchak was the fact that she met him on the road. Had Rivka at first been able to come back to the house of Avraham, she had settled herself in, she had cleaned up from the trip, and Avram had spoken to her, told her a little bit about her future husband, the amazing person that she was going to meet. By the time Yitzchak had arrived home, wherever he would have come from would no longer have been with him. He would have been distanced from that experience, and therefore his first interaction with Rivka would have been very different. So clearly Hashem set it up in a purposeful way that Rivka should meet Yitzchak on the road, and that was going to set off this relationship on the foot that it did. It says, we see it mentioned very subtly here, that the way that Rivka met Yitzchak set her up for pachad, that Rivka was in awe of her husband. It said, had she arrived first back in Avraham's home, Hayamit Nahegedi Mokimul Kolisha Abala. Had she met him in a normal way when she had arrived back in Avraham's home, she would have been able to interact with Yitzhak as any wife interacts with her husband. However, something was different because she met Yitzhak on the road. And what was that? Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu Siviv. She Yitzhak ba be'oto eat. Mivo be'er l'chai ro'i, shehayalo oto makom miyuchad l'tfila, v'hispudidus al be'er shener'eh hamalach. What was be'er l'chai ro'i? This was the well where Hagar had encountered the malach, that when Hagar had been sent away with Yishmael from Abraham's home, she had encountered a malach, and that was at be'er l'chai ro'i. And from that point on, this was a makom miyuchad, this was a special place, L'tfila v'lehispodidus. Now, I don't think we should understand that Yitzchak Avinu was a Breslover chassid. However, he did spend time in tefila, in meditation. So Rivka first encountered Yitzchak when he was coming off of this deeply spiritual experience that Yitzchak had been in direct communication with Hashem. He had been meditating with God, and that was when Rivka first met him. And then Itziv continues, Vatisa Rivka vatira et Yitzchak. We are now in source 8. Be'oto omiru mitpalal, v'haya az kimalach elokim nora me'od. Rivka, when she first saw Yitzchak, was in awe. She looked up and she saw this figure who appeared like an angel. This was like a malach Hashem nora me'od. It was such an awesome sight. Ukimivu'ar bracha shara'ataya dav sh'tuchot batvila, alkein nivata me'od. Rivka saw him at first when his hands were outstretched in tefillah, and from that moment, she was in awe of him. She was, in a way, scared of him. Vatipol me'al hagamal, me'rov pachad ve'ema. She fell off her camel, not out of the desire to run over to Yitzchak, rather she fell off because out of rov pachad ve'ema, out of fear and trepidation for Yitzchak. Amnam lo yadam yimihi mitpachadet v'ilu lo hayta yoshevet im ha'eved al gamal achad v'hayta yoshevet me'achorav ad shera'ata she'achar kach ha'ish holech likrat ha'eved v'omeinu midaber imo k'chol adam haya da'ata mitkarer b'toch kach ad shehuda'a achar kach mihu ha'ish haya savar kvar sar ha'pachad mimena. Had she, and again it, he is noting how Hashem specifically orchestrated it for this to be the situation, that had Rivka not seen him at that initial moment, she would have only seen Yitzchak once he walked over to Eliezer, and at that point, he would have seemed like more of a regular person just coming over to schmooze with the Eved. However, because of the position that she was sitting on the Gamal, she saw Yitzchak first before she saw him approach them, and therefore it set her up again to see him in this spiritual state. She then asked, Mi ha'ish halazeh? Asher ani mitpa'el mitpachid mimena. She asked the servant, who is this person that has instilled such fear, such awe in me? Ukimivu'ar b'bereishis rav b'lashon halazeh mashma'o adam me'ayom v'nora. This language of mi hu halazeh, mi ha'ish halazeh, is a language of ema and pachad. Once she heard that this was going to be her future husband, she felt a need to cover herself up. It's as Rivka perceived from that first moment that she was unworthy of such a special man. She covered herself out of busha, out of being ashamed, and from that moment on, she recognized that this was not someone that she was worthy of. Asher Beheyo, she says, it says that it continues on and says, Asher Beheyo lahem izok pida alayhem lo boshu ledaber ratat lifnehem. A regular husband and wife, the wife, if she has something that she needs to talk about with her husband, she doesn't have a fear to do so. Masha ain kein Rivka, but Rivka was not like this. V'kol zeh hakdama lahasipor sheyavo This is all a prelude to the fact that we see that Rivka and Yitzchak have differences of opinion. Rivka knew the truth about Esav, but she had this fear. She was not able to bring up that fear with Yitzchak. V'kim b'shad ha-brachot, we see this manifest itself at the time of the brachot again. V'kol zeh sibah me'akadosh baruch hu she'yagiyu ha-brachot li'Yaakov dafka be'ofen kazeh v'kasher yavo mikomo. It says Hashem obviously had hashkacha over this situation. It was planned out that Yaakov should have to receive the bracha in this way. But whatever Hashem needed to happen in this situation, Hashem caused that the relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka should be one of pachad. It should be one of fear. And the Ramban carries on this idea in Source 9. And he says, why did Yitzchak not recognize that Esav was evil, that Yaakov was the one who was supposed to get the brachot? And the Ramban explains that it was because Rivka had never shared the nevuah that she received regarding Rav Ya'avod Tzair, about the Shneyamim b'bit Nech, that the two nations that were inside her. She had never shared this nevuah with her husband, and that led to all of the subsequent events. So that is the approach of the Netziv. And like I said, it's shocking because no one wants to think of the Avot and the Imahut of being in a relationship like this, one where there is this level of fear, of this trepidation, that Rivka would not communicate with her husband, that there doesn't seem to be any love before them, between them. And that brings me to my question of, I believe, like I said, this answer reads well into all of the stories. It explains the lacks of communication. It explains the disagreement, the differences of opinion. But what I don't think it answers is the Vaye'ahaveha, that we are clearly told that Yitzchak loves Rivka, and we are not told this with any other couple before them. Even with the great relationship that we see between Avram and Sarah, we don't see this word of Ahava used. So I think in order to A, be able to continue this year, because I just couldn't draw out a great message from the Netziv, I think that if that was the only approach that we had to this story, it would be very hard to take a practical message for our lives. That what am I going to tell you? Okay, so we should all work on the fear in our relationships. I think it would be hard to take at just face value. So rather, I want to take another approach, and I want to look at that approach of, we know it says Vayehaveha, that Yitzchak loved her. What was that love? We have to understand what that love was. So if we look first in Source 10, we see that it begins that when Eliezer first met Rivka, he noticed her beauty. He said, like many of the other Imahot, that she was a beautiful woman. However, we do not hear after that point, until they arrive in Grar, that Rivka was beautiful. So one might say that the Netziv was explaining how the relationship really played out, and this Vaye'ahaveha was an original level of infatuation. However, that's not true, because between the time that Eliezer noticed Rivka's beauty and the time they arrive in Grar, there is no discussion of Rivka's beauty. It was something worthwhile to mention in the beginning, but that was definitely not the basis of the relationship. There must be something more. And Rashi gives us the first hint as to what was this? What was this love between Rivka and Yitzchak based on? And Rashi says in one of the most famous Rashis, Vayaviyaha ohela Sara imo. V'na'asit dugmat Sara imo. Yitzchak saw a vision of his mother. Kilomar, v'harehi Sara imo. Kol zman shehayta Sara kayemet. Haya ner dolik ba'ohel me'arav Shabbos la'arav Shabbos. It says there was three miracles that were in the tent of Sarah, that from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos, her candle stayed lit. V'bracha mitzuya be'isah, her dough never went spoiled. V'anan kashorel ha'ohel. And there was always a cloud of the Shechina above the tent. U'mishemeta pasku. And from the moment that she died, the cloud disappeared. V'kishabata Rivka chazru. And when Rivka returned to the tent, all of the miracles returned. Rashi continues and says, this is the way of the world, that a son will not be comforted for his mother's death, who he typically clings to while she is alive, until she is replaced with a wife. However, at first glance, this may seem slightly strange. Is this some sort of Oedipus complex that Yitzchak was seeking out someone just like his mother? No. The Radak explains, What is this that Yitzchak saw the image of his mother in Rivka? What was Yitzchak truly looking for? And it says in the second Dibur HaMatzil in the Radak, Vayehaveha, in Source 12, שראה בדברים טובים וצניאס כמו שהיה באימו, לפיכך אהבה מאוד. Now Yitzchak knew what was important to look for in a shidduch. He said that I know I must look for midos tovos. I must look for someone who is snias, someone who has these values and these traits that I can admire. And he saw those in Rivka. He saw the amazing traits that his mother had. And therefore, ahava me'od, he loved her so much. Ki sipur v'yahaveha la'ahava yitei rabah. When it tells us that Yitzchak loved her, this seems superfluous. Ki rov b'nei adam ohavim nishoteihem. Most people love their wives. Ela hodia ki ahava yetira ledvarim tovim shenimtza uba. Rather, this is the first hint as to what was this love between Yitzchak and Rivka. It was a love based on shared values. That first and foremost, Yitzchak knew that he was looking for a woman who had so many of the amazing traits that his mother had possessed. And when he saw Rivka, he saw this image of his mother, and he recognized those values and those traits that he was looking for, and that is what they began their relationship upon. Rabbi Alex Israel, one of my rabbayim from Matan, when I learned in the Matan Eshkolot program, brings two points in his sicha on Chayei Sarah. He says, we note that the pasuk, when Rivka and Yitzchak first meet each other, uses parallel language. That with both of them, it states that they picked up their eyes. It says that Yitzchak looked up and he saw Rivka, and that Rivka looked up and saw Yitzchak. And we can, on a basic level, interpret this like a beautiful fairy tale, that Yitzchak looked up and saw Rivka coming in the distance, and Rivka looked up and saw Yitzchak from a distance, and their eyes met, and it was a beautiful love story. However, Rabbi Israel states that he says it was so much more than that. The words that they looked up and saw each other set them off for how the rest of their relationship will be. They did not just find lovers. They did not just find a partner. Rather, they found in each other someone that they looked up to, someone that they saw as a role model, someone that really exemplified their image of spirituality. He adds, based on a quote from Robert Alter, that many of the stories of couples meeting in Tanakh are based around a well. When I was in high school, I went to Yeshiva of Flatbush. Rabbi Naftali Besser was the dean of students. He used to run all of the Shabbatons. And before we used to leave to wash Netilas Yadayim, he would say, make sure to talk nicely to whoever next to you. Jews are known to meet around water. So that was always the running joke. But it's true, many of our characters in Tanakh do meet around the well. Eliezer does encounter Rivka first at the well, Yaakov and Rachel, Moshe and Tzipporah. There are so many stories of meeting at the well. And it says Yitzchak, it does not seem from first glance that Yitzchak and Rivka is a well story. However, Robert Alter makes the point and says Yitzchak was coming from Be'er L'chai Ro'i. He was coming from a well. But why is that important? He says, because Yaakov Avinu, or Moshe, when they were at the well, they did some courageous act. They tried to impress the woman in some way. And he said Yitzchak was the same way. However, what impressed Rivka was different. That Yitzchak was coming from Be'er L'chai Ro'i, and what he was giving off was not his physical strength. He was not giving off his courage. Rather, he was giving off spirituality. And that was exactly what Rivka was looking for. That coming from a home where she had always been out of place, that she was surrounded by such terrible people, Rivka dreamt of finding someone who would match her hashkafa, who would have the same outlook on life that she had. And when she looked up and she saw Yitzchak coming away from his well, she saw this spiritual partner that she had so greatly desired. Rav Steinzahl states this beautifully. Zecher tzadik v'kadosh l'vracha. Thus, the relationship between Rebecca and Isaac acquired additional significance. For her, he represented another world, a higher level of being. She was bound to him and perhaps loved him because of this purity. Rav Steinzahl adds on to this point by Rabbi Alex Israel and says, what Rivka and Yitzchak were looking for in this relationship was a spiritual partner. They were looking for someone who could be their role model, with whom they shared values, with whom they shared ideals and Mido that they try to work on and always grow towards. And they found that in each other. They found a partner, but they also found a role model. However, we still would not be able to explain love here. The Beis HaLevi makes an interesting point in a piece of advice that he would give over to those going into Shidduchim. The Beis HaLevi was Rav Soloveitchik's great-grandfather. And he says that when Avraham sends out Eliezer to find a wife for Yitzchak, at the beginning of the Eliezer story, Avraham says, you should find a son, libini liYitzchak. That you have to find a wife for my son, for Yitzchak. Why the repetition of language? And the Beis HaLevi explains, because when you are looking for a wife, you have to find someone who can fill two roles. The first role is that of one of the imahu, a great person. Avraham knew they had to find a woman who would fit into his home, which was a great home. She was going to be a leader. She was going to be the next mother of Am Yisrael. And they knew they had to fill that role, of the role of finding a woman, libini, to follow Avraham and Sarah and be that partner for Yitzchak in continuing Am Yisrael. However, Avraham also stated it has to be a woman, liYitzchak, specifically for Yitzchak, that has to fit his personality. It's great to have shared values, to have a spiritual partner, but did that lead to love? Did that lead to the deep connection, liYitzchak, specifically for Yitzchak? And Rav Hirsch says yes. Rav Hirsch explains, Vatehi lo le'isha ve'yahaveha. Gam zohi tchuna asher baruch Hashem lo paska mibin tzatzei Avraham v'tzara, Yitzchak v'rifka. Kechol shena'asta yoter le'ishto, kach ahavuta yoter. He says, we learn many aspects from the relationships of Avraham and Sarah and Yitzchak and Rivka. And the first is that the more that you do for your husband, for your wife, for your partner, the more that you will love them. Kidugmat nisuin ila shel haben hayehudi harishon. He says, we learn a great amount from this example of the first marriage of the first Jewish child. Kach ne'arachim rov hanisuin hayehudim lo al yesod shel tshuka. Ela bekoa hasichal hayashar v'hashiko hadad ha'horim v'hakrovim shokalim v'da'atam ha'im shnei hatirim atimim zolazo u'mishum kach ahavat b'nei hazog goveret kechol shehim marbim litvada zolazo. Rav Hirsch says that the marriage of Yitzchak sets us up for all future Jewish marriages. That he says that Jewish marriage starts with the people who know them best getting to know the other and deciding that they believe this would be a good match. That they investigate not into how beautiful they are or how much money they have. He says Jewish marriage is not built on teshuka, on desire. Rather, it is built on shared values, shared spirituality, a shared hashkafa in life. Rov hanesuin halo yehudiyim nasim al basis mashim korim ahava. He says, non-Jewish marriages have this ideal of building themselves up based on what they call love. Alinu rak lahatzitz me'at b'tiurim misipurei ha'ahava shalahem. You only have to take, he says, small excerpts from their love stories, halikuchim me'achayim, v'miyad anu ro'im et ha'tehom ha'amuka v'hamafrida, v'alam ha'lo yehudi bin ha'ahava shal b'nei azog lebin ha'nesuin, lebin ma shemitrachish achar kach. He says, when you look in non-Jewish fairy tales, you see the difference between the so-called love that they have before marriage and what ensues after marriage. There's this idea of fantasy and everything is a fairy tale before marriage, but once it moves on to marriage, that all goes away. Kama tafel v'chasar ta'am nir'eh hakol la'achar ha'nesuin, kama sunei ha'matzav mehamediniyut shel b'nei azog lefichin. Ahava kazo avirahi. Ki v'kol tzad l'toch ha'atin mevi imo mipach nefesh hachadash. He says, this is nothing. This is not worthwhile. This doesn't last. It's nothing. Lo kin ha'nesuin ha'yudihim sha'aleihem nomar v'yikach at Rivka v'tihilo l'isha v'yaha v'ha. He said it was the opposite, and this is a lesson we learned from Yitzchak. It says, Yitzchak took her as a wife, v'yaha v'ha. Then he loved her. Kan ha'chatuna ino hefsiga. He said, in a Jewish marriage, there is so much work that goes into making sure that this will be a prosperous marriage before the marriage. However, only then does the true love come after the marriage. That when you build up this marriage, based on spirituality, based on shared values, being able to respect the other, being able to see the other person as a role model, someone you truly want to emulate, someone you respect, only then can you build up this true love. And it's not that he says you end up with a lower level of love, rather you end up with an only higher level of love than one that is initially based on desire, based on some sort of lust. And do we see this love demonstrated? Yes, we most definitely do. Not only does it say Ve'aha Ve'ha, however, when we meet Yitzchak and Rivka for the second time in the story of their infertility, we see how much love there was before them. We're in source 14, the Radak, Vayetar Yitzchak. It says that Yitzchak davened for his wife, Harbei b'tfila al ishto sh'teled lefi sh'haya ohev ota ahava yetera kimo sh'pirashnu, u'me'avata lo ratza lakachat isha acharet aleha, v'lo achad mina aroteha. We can note that Yitzchak is the only one of the Avot that does not take a second or third wife in order to have more children. That Yitzchak so deeply loved Rivka that he did not want to even take a maidservant or another wife, even just for the purpose of having children. That is why Yitzchak davened to no end, so that he would be able to have a child, not only for himself, but a child specifically with Rivka. The Midrash explains that they beautifully davened right alongside each other, and it says that Yitzchak prayed next to his wife and Rivka prayed next to her husband, and Yitzchak said, Hashem, please give me children from this righteous woman. And Rivka stood next to him and davened and said, Hashem, please give me children from this righteous man. That Yitzchak and Rivka loved each other so deeply, and that was because of how much they looked up to each other. It was not like the Nitziv explains that the spirituality came between them, that it was something that separated Rivka from Yitzchak. Rather, that was exactly what attracted Rivka to Yitzchak and Yitzchak to Rivka. So like I said, the approach of the Nitziv fits into the stories a little bit easier. But I think if we quickly go back now and try to place this approach of ours, that there was this true deep relationship, we can understand each of the stories. The first one is the pregnancy. Where was Yitzchak? Why was Yitzchak not there with Rivka at that integral moment, the moment that she was going to find out what was going to be with her future? And why then did she never tell Yitzchak about what happened with that nevuah? The Ramban says that Rivka thought, Yitzchak is a much greater Navi than me. It cannot be that he is so troubled by the situation as I am. He must know what's going on. I just need to find out what's going on. So when she received this nevuah, she said, there's no reason for me to share it with Yitzchak. It must be he is so much greater than I am. He's a much better person. He would never doubt Hashem in this way. He must know what's coming. She didn't feel the need to share with him. So unlike when we first saw the story that it seemed like it was being hidden from him, or it seemed like she was afraid to tell him, rather it was the amount of respect and admiration that she had for Yitzchak that prevented him from telling him, because she figured he must already know. So again, a somewhat painful miscommunication, but not a lack of communication. There was not a fear. There was not a pacha there. It was that Rivka respected Yitzchak so much and thought that there was no way he would have doubted Hashem in the same way that she had. In their early childhood, when it says that Rivka loved Yaakov and Yitzchak loved Esav, in a great marriage, when there is so much respect and so much admiration for the other, you're able to disagree without having a disagreement. You are able to have a difference of opinion without it turning into a conflict. That they both respected the other's judgment so much that we don't see that they ever clashed over their judgment calls on their children. Even when it comes to the brachot, it's not Rivka saying that Yitzchak is wrong for wanting to give it to Esav. Rather, she, as we will explain in a moment, she sees a greater reason to give it to Yaakov. That we see that they may approach their children differently, but we do not see them conflict over these two things. They have that great level of respect. And then again in the story of Avimelech, it would go right along with our image of Yitzchak and Rivka, that they are on the same wavelength. They get each other. They get the values that the other is approaching every situation with. And although we do not see the communication at our level, we are not privy to that conversation with them. We know that their love was not lost while they were in Gerar. It's not that they did not communicate, because when Avimelech takes even the slightest peek into their private lives, he sees the great amount of love that is between them. It can't be that Yitzchak was just bossing Rivka around and sending her here and there wherever he desired. Rather, it must be that there was a communication, there was a relationship, however it was kept in private. We did not have to see the deepest, most intimate relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka. When Avimelech took that slight peek, it was so noticeable. Everyone who saw Yitzchak and Rivka could see the deep love that was between them. It was clear that they were husband and wife. But lastly, we come to the story of the brachot. And the story of the brachot, I have to admit, again, is definitely the hardest to understand. However, I believe that Rav Dessler brings down a great explanation. In Michta Me'eliyahu, Rav Dessler says, why was it that Rivka felt the need to go behind the back of Yitzchak? If we're not going to go with the opinion of the Netziv that they never spoke to each other, then we have to be able to give another explanation. And Rav Dessler says that the reason that Rivka went behind the back of Yitzchak in this situation was because of her deep understanding of Yitzchak's personality. Yitzchak, as we know, had his midah, and that was din, that was gvura. That Avraham was chesed, Yitzchak was gvura, and Yaakov was tiferet. Yitzchak was din, he was straight justice. Straight justice means that everyone gets exactly what they need. They don't get above and beyond. He is all about everything being fair, everything exactly what that person needs. And Rivka knew this. And she also knew that's how Yitzchak was looking at his children. He saw Yaakov and he saw Tzaddik. He saw someone who he was always going to be able to live on through his own merits. And his children as well, he knew, would maybe not always have the easiest lives, but they would always be able to survive because of their great merits. They would follow in the ways of Hashem. They would have their schos avos, the merits from Yaakov, and they would be able to always survive. However, Yitzchak looked at Esav and he said, Esav needs to be redirected. Esav's children, they won't have schosim from him. They won't have any merit from him. They need a bracha in order to be able to survive even at a basic level in the world. That he says, Yaakov's a tzaddik, he does not need this bracha. Esav needs to be redirected. He needs this bracha to help him in a way that he will not be able to help himself. However, Rivka knew something deeper. And she realized in this moment that Yitzchak did not know the nevuah that she had received. That Yitzchak was truly unaware of the fact that Esav was more than a wayward son. That Esav was truly evil. And of course, that is so hard to see in a child. But since Rivka had been privy to this information, this nevuah that she had gotten during her pregnancy, she recognized that Esav was evil. What he needed was not a small bracha to get him back on track. That was not going to be enough from him. Esav personified evil. But she also recognized that there were going to be offspring from Yaakov that were going to stray, that were going to go off the path of Hashem. And if they had the extra help of that bracha, that would be enough to get them back on track, to help them to survive. So Rivka recognized, with her greater view of the entire situation, outside of this lens of Gvura, of Din, that Yitzchak needed to give over this bracha to Yaakov, that it was not going to be enough to help Esav. It wasn't going to get him back on track. There was nothing that was going to get him back on track. But if Yitzchak would be able to overcome this midah of his that was just to give people exactly what they needed, he would have been able to recognize that Yaakov was truly the one that should get this bracha, that it would help him the most. But Rivka knew her husband, and she knew that this was not the way that Yitzchak saw the world. So she knew that she had to send Yaakov in secretly so that he would be able to receive the bracha. And we see after this situation that Yitzchak was not upset. He was not angry that the children had been switched, and that leads us to believe that he was not angry at Rivka. That he understood that Rivka had understood him and understood what needed to happen in the situation. We see that Yitzchak is scared. It says that he lets out a great scream, that Esav lets out a great scream, and Yitzchak trembles, a great trembling. But we don't see that he is angry. And that is because Rivka's decision did not come from a place of wanting to trick Yitzchak, Rather, because she knew Yitzchak so well, she knew exactly how to work with him. And we can see this if you imagine great relationships, that you know that the husband and wife just know each other so well, and they're able to work together so well. And to an outsider, it might seem like their relationship is funny, that, I don't know, the wife always tells the husband that they're going to leave the house 25 minutes before they actually plan on leaving. That would seem like lying. But it's not lying. It's that she knows her husband so well that she knows he wants to be on time. He just can't. In the same way, Rivka recognized that if Yitzchak had a full perspective on the situation, he would definitely have given Yaakov the bracha. However, he did not, and it was not in his midah, it was not in his character to be able to give Yaakov the bracha in the situation that he was perceiving. So in that sense, we can even in that story see the great amount of closeness and respect for each other that Rivka and Yitzchak had. Just to conclude, why then was the only statement we hear by Rivka following the brachot scenario when they are talking about sending Yaakov away to find a wife? And that is because it was at that point that Rivka speaks up and she says, Yitzchak, we have worked on our relationship. We established the true Torah relationship. And she says, if Yaakov is going to take a wife from Benot Chait, from the women here who do not have these values, then why did we live our entire lives in this way? That she says, we have created such a deep, amazing relationship, a Torah relationship, one that is based on respect, on spirituality, on values. And she says, Katsi b'chayai, my life is for nothing if Yaakov rejects this. Because then this ideal will not continue itself on. That she says, if he decides to marry for the reasons like Esav did, that will be throwing away everything we established. So it is at that point that when Rivka sees that their relationship lessons need to be passed on to the next generation, that's when she stands up, because she believes so strongly in the type of relationship that they have built, and she wants to pass this on to Yaakov. So finally, to end off, there is a quote from the author of The Little Prince, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. I definitely did not pronounce that right, but I tried. Love does not consist in gazing at each other, but in looking together in the same direction. And Rav Aaron Lichtenstein comments on this quote in relation to Ve'yatar Yitzchak L'Nochach Ishto. Rav Aaron says, the love between man and woman arises from more than each admiring the beauty and character of each other. It arises mainly from their joint observation, understanding, and appreciation of a third, additional reality which is loftier and mightier and more wondrous than themselves. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein tells us that this was the relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka. That Yitzchak and Rivka recognized what it meant to establish a relationship that was Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. That they chose a partner who was a role model for them in spirituality. That was a role model for them in values. They found a spiritual partner with which they could then take on the world. May we be zocha to take these lessons from Yitzchak and Rivka, build and work on our relationships to increase our respect for our partner, our respect and our admiration for our husband, our family members, whatever stage of life we are at. And may we be zocha to internalize these lessons and use all of our relationships to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, as Rivka and Yitzchak were.